Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
God.
Time now for the Odd Couple Celebrity Corner.
Well, we are pleased, tickled pink to bring in our next guest
yes,
on Celebrity
sir.
Corner. He's the famous actor and comedian. You all know him, Mr. Tom Arnold.
What's hey, up, Tom?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Man, it's great to have you on. We've both been longtime fans of yours. I mean, Rob is an aspiring comedian, so I know he's really excited.
Well, you know, I'm fans of you guys, you know, long time. You know, you guys are the Odd Couple of, you know, every two guys that is the Odd Couple. You know that.
Right, that's a good point.
Well, it's great to talk about sports, isn't it? Thank God for sports.
Yes.
Let me just say that. With all this going on in this country, thank God for sports, because I love talking about sports.
Unless you're putting together the White House press release and you spell Boston Red Sox.
Oh, my gosh.
S-O-C-K-S.
Listen, just let me say this. And by the way, Tom Warner owns the Red Sox.
Yep.
He owns Liverpool, who's my soccer team. And he used to produce, he produces the Roseanne Show. So I've known Tom Warner from the first day I moved out here in 1988. You know, my first job was on the Roseanne Show. I was a writer on the Roseanne. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yes.
But I was a writer on the Roseanne Show. So I've known Tom Warner forever. And I love Tom Warner. And so last year at this time, he was on a jet because Liverpool was in the Champions League final last year. So he's flying over there. And Paul Walker is his business manager, as well as Arnold Schwarzenegger and LeBron James and Dr. Dre. And so they're flying over to the Champions League final. And Liverpool, man, it looked like they're going to win. And at the last, they had some goalie issues. And so lost a heartbreaker last year. They're going to win. They're going to win tomorrow, though. They lost a heartbreaker. And all the way there, Paul Walker's like, oh, man, you know what? I got LeBron. I've got Dre. I've got Arnold. But you're really my best client. You're my biggest client because you got the Roseanne Show. It's just back. It's huge. It's number one. And you got Liverpool. And then Liverpool lost that game. And Roseanne got canceled. She got fired that weekend.
Right. Wow.
And so he jinxed him. And so, but Tom Waters is a hilarious. He's still got billions of dollars.
I was going to say he's got plenty
right.
coming in.
You know, he's got many stories from this for visiting the Lincoln Bedroom with Donald Trump too. So, anyway, these guys. Anyway, I'm happy for the Red Sox.
Well, okay. So, Tom, you are a big Lakers fan.
Well, yeah. Yes. It's a horrible. You know, it's horrible. You know, I was filming down in New Orleans for. I do this NCIS New Orleans show, and the people could not be happier at how terrible the Lakers are. The people that pick you up in the car, everybody in the state of Louisiana, because, you know,
we're trying to steal their players.
Right,
I know. That is why. They could not be happier. The guy picks me up at 5 a.m., and he's just smirking every day. I go, what happened? He goes, well, you know, it got worse and worse and worse. And, you know, yeah, I am, and I'm a big LeBron fan, and I'm a big, you know. Now, Jerry West, is he working for us? I can't remember. It seems
he's
like
not for the Clippers.
If you had Jerry West,
yeah, this mess wouldn't be going on.
I know.
They need to call Jerry West.
Oh, my gosh. Well, at least Magic Johnson is still working for us, right?
No, he's
not. Oh, my gosh. No, don't tell me. Oh, my God, no. Listen, man. One more year. Next year, because really...
So you've already given up on next season.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
They never get... Listen to me. You never give up on a team with LeBron James. I mean, that, I'm just telling you that. No, you can't give up on... It seems like you should give up on next year. Like, all evidence points in that direction. But you just don't... You just don't... I mean, it's about, you know... You just have had too many... great moments with the Lakers in the 80s to give up on them.
Wow.
It's frustrating. It makes you angry. No, it's time. It's time. And it's something, you know, it's time, and it has its time. They need to get it together. And, you know, I'm also a New York Giant fan.
You're all over the place.
New York, Boston.
Did you say
the Red Sox are your baseball team?
No, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm just giving it a little love.
New York, Chicago, and the Lake and Los Angeles. And you're from Iowa.
Yeah.
I get that, though, because Iowa
and Chicago, Illinois, that goes together.
Right. And you didn't have a team in Iowa, right?
No, that's what it is.
Right.
I'm an Iowa Hawkeye. You know, when you grow up in Iowa, we have no professional team. So, you know, the Hawkeyes are beloved.
You just get to pick the front runners.
The Lakers, yeah, that's a front runner thing.
The
Cubs, man, the Cubs, when they won, your whole life flashes. First of all, let me just say what it was like. I mean, you guys know. Yeah, did I enjoy the Game 7? No. Did I have diarrhea? Yes. My wife was like, "You're not enjoying this." I go, "No," because at any moment things can get screwed up. It was the most unenjoyable until they won, and then you're like just weeping for your grandfather and all the games you went to. You know, it just was, you know, that's what it's like being a Cub fan. And then the Lakers, you moved to L.A. I moved here in 88, and you come here. And then, of course, in 88, Kirk Gibson, the Dodgers win. And I moved from Minneapolis, where in 87, the Twins won the World Series. I'm like, oh, I am the guy. Wherever I go, the team, they win. So sports in general, you know, I am loyal once I settle on a team. I came out here. I supported the Blues when I was in the Midwest, and my hockey team, and the Kings. I grabbed a hold of them, and I'll tell you what, when they won the Stanley Cup a few years ago, the first one, that was a big deal too. So I stick with the team once I get a hold of them.
It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by the great actor and comedian Tom Arnold.
Tom, how much did you enjoy? I mean, the best damn sports show when it was on was really a fun show. I always thought that they killed it because they kept running it every 5 minutes. You know, like kind of went into, like, they were trying to, like, suck all the, you know what I mean, all the ratings out of it because it was their highest rated show. It was oversaturation, but did you really enjoy that?
Oh, my God, I loved it. I mean, you know, it was perfect. It was wonderful because I'd sit there and I'd be like, oh, my God, what are my heroes? I mean, there'd be, like, Willie Mays, Ernie Banks. Like, people would come on the show, and it was a out-of-body experience for me because the athletes on the show, they're used to it. But I didn't have to be objective. Like, I couldn't ask quiz an athlete about what they did. I just loved them. I mean, we would have Sammy Sosa on the show. They'd be like, ask him about steroids. And I'd be like, oh, hell no. No, I don't care. No, there is no way. There's just that. That's not going to happen. So, I mean, I just loved, and I just think of all the moments these people brought to me and my life. And I just worship these guys. And I also love the guys I worked with. And it was so much fun, and I got to do 4 years. I got to do crazy stuff and have fun with all these guys, and we're still friends. I got to meet so many athletes and also so many journalists and also got to learn to do this and respect what you guys do. And it's just that the sports world, you know, that whole world is just an amazing thing. And I got to, you know, it's the best thing ever. Also, the show, the problem with the show is because of the scheduling, it might air at the, like, 9:04 in Columbus and then 12:21 in New York City, because it had to do it. They aired it around the sports games,
right.
So nobody could say what time your show on. And I go, I don't know,
right.
You know. So, but it was so fun, and it was before Fox had a real network, so it was like regional. But I loved it. It was great fun.
It was a great show.
Well, how about one last thing about? Do you still keep in touch with Roseanne? Do you guys talk, or do you not talk at all?
We just hook up once in a while.
Is that it?
I'm like, no, we don't. Oh, my gosh.
But I wanted to ask you about what went down, because she comes back with the show. It's a success. It's a ratings hit.
Yeah,
and then she puts a foot, you know, in her mouth and blows everything.
Listen, man, you know, I had a show. I had a show called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes at the same time, and so I see she's got this show, and she's politically. You can be politically different. It's like sports. You root for this team, and I had no idea how far politically different. I heard Donald Trump talking on stage about me and Roseanne were number one. I'm like, oh boy, and then But, you know, she did, and I started following her social media because I'm in touch with my old stepkids.
Right.
And no, but she got involved with a absolute racist group, and she did something racist, not around the bush. She went over the line, right. Said something racist. You can't call people monkeys. It is little kids. Kids grow up with that, and she went over the line. There's no gray area. She did that, and that's not the person that I met. When I met her, listen, I came from a meatpacking plant in Iowa. When I met her when I was 23. Man, when I met her, she's older than me. She was progressive. She talked about people of color. My next door neighbor's dog was named the N-word in Iowa. I grew up I came from a meatpacking plant. She was a mother. You know, I came from a tough area. She was, like, so different. I love that. That is not the person I met. It's something. There's something going on with a lot of people in this country, and there's something up. So maybe one of these days we'll get it settled. But that was, it wasn't a mistake. It was a part of this culture, that this Trump thing, where they just can't say it. I'm not blaming Trump. You can't blame him for what you do.
Right.
But people do it, and they just can't say what they're on this one side, and she just went too far. I think she sabotaged the show on purpose, because it was coming back for season two, and the Trump people are like, you got to make it all about Trump. And the other people are like, well, you can't make it any about Trump. And, you know, subconsciously, you know, you're like, well, I'm just going to do something awful. And there you go. And that was. And, you know, it's ridiculous. And, you know, people, you know, there you go. That's my two cents.
Well, no, Tom, we appreciate great, that. Great, thank you so
man,
much.
We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. And we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. I like listening to you. Thank you very much.
Bye
now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The hapless, I just saw Rob G's heart sink when I said that word. The hapless Los Angeles Lakers.
Rob G, it'll be all right. Rob,
so, I feel sick.
So hapless, Rob, that Laker fans staged a protest today at 12 o'clock noon Pacific time, 3 Eastern, at the Staples Center to protest the front office and Jeannie Buss and she's doing with that team.
That's how bad it is that the fans were moved. And I know people are going to laugh at the attendance because it wasn't, what did they say, 50 or 60 people, Rob?
Well, it started out like 12 or something, and then it hit a high, it hit a crescendo
at 60.
Of 50 or 60.
But my thing is, it doesn't matter what the size
it
is.
It does matter.
It doesn't matter.
It does
no, it
matter.
Doesn't.
If it had been 50,000, that wouldn't be different than 50.
It's Friday on a work day, so let me just tell you something. Hear me out on this. It doesn't matter if there's one guy out in front of your business with a picket sign saying don't eat in here because they have roaches or whatever it is, and you're protesting something. It starts with the groundswell. Starts with one. Do not poo-poo this.
I'm poo-pooing it.
The fans have a right to come out and say they're not happy with it.
Oh, you don't have a right.
You don't have to have 50,000.
Get more people there, though.
You don't have to have 50,000 for it to matter to somebody. I respect those people who came out.
That's not the issue. Nobody
I respect
said
them.
Nobody said I don't respect them.
But you're like laughing at them.
I'm just saying
them.
It's a sad turnout. It's sad. It's sad. It's not going to make a difference.
It doesn't matter.
If there were 500 people out there, it would make a difference. It continued the laughing stock role that the Lakers are. Listen to Clipper Darryl. Listen to
the
Clipper
Darryl. The next time the Lakers fans want to do a protest, baby, make sure y'all come out and show up, man. Dang. My pool party is bigger than this.
Yeah, but the only problem
he ain't
with
even
it,
lying. Everybody's pool parties are bigger than that.
The only problem is, why did he bring his fat behind now downtown then? Why did he show up?
To mock.
He didn't know what was going on. He had no idea when he went down there because he wanted to see what was going on. Give the Laker fans respect. All 50
is it
or 60
only 50
of them.
Laker
I don't
fans
care.
Nowadays?
I don't care. This is that typical oh, well, you got to have this or that. No.
You do.
Most things are started with a small group of people that swell into bigger things. And I respect those people to say, we haven't been talked to. They've been dissing us. We buy tickets. We buy merchandise. And we haven't even heard from Jeannie Buss since Magic quit. And we don't like the way we're being treated. And we're going to show our disappointment in what's going on. And they don't need 1,000 people. They don't need 10,000 people for them to matter. They matter. Each fan matters, Chris Broussard. So stop with this crowd envy. It's always got to be bigger's not always better.
I'm going to leave that one alone. As seems to be your custom, Rob Parker, you're arguing something that I'm not even arguing.
No, you're making fun of them.
I'm not disrespecting the Laker fans.
You're making fun of them.
You had your little rant. Let me talk now. I have no problem with those fans. I respect them and their right to criticize the Lakers. What I'm saying is if you can only get 12 to 50 people out there at the protest, it's not going to be effective. If you get, don't tell me numbers don't matter. If there had been 1,000 people out there in front of the Staples Center chanting fire, Rambis, like they were, don't tell me that wouldn't be different than 50. This is a numbers game. If the fans being upset, if their anger does not impact the bottom line, Jeannie Buss is not going to care. You have got to impact the bottom line to have an impact.
Chris, you're still new to Los Angeles, but I'm going to tell you, there were a lot more fans trying to make it. They were just stuck in traffic. That's the reason why they didn't get there.
Kawhi like that? Come on, man.
What?
I ain't even have to try not to laugh.
That was a good Los Angeles joke. Am I right, Rob G? No?
Look. You one thing you said that made sense. It's a Friday afternoon.
It is at noon. People
so
are at work.
Where they made the mistake, and apparently, I assume it's still on. There's supposed to be another protest tomorrow. It is still on tomorrow at 12 noon Pacific time.
They should have just had one on a Saturday. One on a Saturday, right?
I expect there to be more people there tomorrow,
right? Because most people are at work.
Right. I don't know why. Yeah.
Noon downtown LA.
I agree with you on the fans' right to protest. I'm actually glad they're protesting.
Me too.
Because I think maybe it will get something done. I'm just saying you got to get more people out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I thought a Friday, and don't have two, just have one on a weekend day, early enough, get everybody can get down there. The traffic's not as bad to get downtown. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Rob, I don't know if, did you see any video of it?
I saw it.
It looked pathetic. And I'm not mad at those guys. It looked pathetic. It did. You know it did. You don't want to admit it. You consider yourself the voice of the fans.
Look at that. You heard me on Colin.
Yeah, I heard you on Colin. Colin. And Colin, you must have given Colin talking points because he was like, you're the voice of the fan.
I am.
That's your brand. Where's that brand?
I'm not
You are far from the voice of the fan.
I am. I care about the fans.
The fans aren't killing LeBron. The fans aren't killing Tom Brady. Where'd you become the voice of the fan?
I'm always looking out for the fan. And what LeBron was doing, the cheating him out of, what do I call it, consumer fraud, not playing, people paying $500 for tickets. I'm always looking out because the fans deserve better. I am the voice of the fan. Remember that. I know you were laughing, right?
When I was laughing. But anyway, the Lakers are a mess. And the bottom line is, whether it was 5 people or 5,000 people at the Staples Center today, it shows. There they are. There's that was 10 of them.
They sound good.
It sounded like it was about 10 of them.
Fire Rambis. Fire Rambis.
Hey, but I do respect y'all, though. I do, and I will respect you even more if you get hundreds out there tomorrow. And I want to see it because this is the glamour franchise of the NBA. It's not Boston.
No.
It is the Los Angeles Lakers. Look at the top 5 scores. I'm going to say something here. Look at the top 5 scores of all time. Number 1, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Number 2, Karl Malone. Right? Number three, Kobe Bryant. Number four, LeBron James.
You're not counting him as a Laker, are you? Come on, Chris. This is your argument you're going to make?
Number five, Wilt Chamberlain. Or Michael. Five is Michael. Six is Wilt. Okay. Of the top five, four of them play for the Lakers.
LeBron's had a cup of coffee in his sweet roll. He's a Laker now.
No, but they played for the Lakers. The Lakers are the glamour franchise of the NBA, and this is what it's come to.
Now, I have a question. When they were chanting Fire Rambus, were they talking about Linda or Kurt?
Both.
Oh, okay.
That's why they were just saying Rambus.
Fire Rambus.
Oh, my God.
Fire Rambus.
I need more bass. I need some bass.
Fire Rambus.
You can't get bass with 12 people.
Fire Rambus.
I'm not a fan.
Fire Rambus.
Yeah, and they were all high school kids playing hooky. That was the problem, too.
Hey, let me tell you.
I'm about education.
We had one in Detroit. We had the Million Man March. And they fans came out. They walked out of a Lions-Bengals game, walked around the stadium, and they were like, hey, hey, ho, ho, Matt Millen's got to go. They were all into it.
Well, that had more vigor than what we witnessed today. But that's all right. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Now, according to Richard Jefferson, it shouldn't have been Rambus, Linda, or Kurt
that you even mentioned. Linda fire. Tells you all you need to know.
I know, right? She's going to be in the meeting with J.B. Bickerstaff.
Oh, nice.
The coach.
Yeah, we need to know what Linda thinks.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you something, Lakers. When a coaching candidate or a free agent candidate walks into the office for the meeting and sees Linda Rambus there, that's a turnoff. It is. Because they know she knows she should not have anything to do with basketball.
But she's wearing the goggles in the meeting, so I think that they respect her.
It has nothing to do with her appearance. I've met Linda. She's nice. She's pretty, all that. But why is she interviewing coaches? Rob G, answer me that. You a Laker fan?
Well, that's not fair, Chris. You know I don't want Linda Rambus there.
It was a rhetorical question. I put you on the spot.
But maybe she's there for other things to find out about what it is.
Don't get fired, Rob.
No, non-basketball.
You can tell he's going somewhere.
No, I'm saying
crazy.
Non-basketball. How you going to say don't get fired?
I like you. You my boy. You my partner.
Rob G, have I ever been over
Every
the line?
Every day
Come
I
on.
Sit in front of this mic, I worry he's going to say something. To
we have only dumped Rob Parker seven times.
Is that right? In 8 months.
Seven?
That's not
Y'all
bad.
Dubbed him seven? Have you really?
No, I think three times.
Okay. You have dubbed him?
Yes.
You.
Have you ever dubbed me?
No, not yet.
Well,
it's
you have
coming,
to
though. It's coming.
You
I
have
tell.
To be cutting edge in order to get
dumped.
Oh
yeah, yeah. Like I'm going to Mexico when the Patriots never win the Super Bowl.
I think I'm moving to Mexico.
But let me get to this Richard Jefferson thing. He said, and he's best friends with Luke Walton. Talks to LeBron James and Tyronn Lue regularly. Here's Richard Jefferson.
Luke Walton is my best friend.
Right.
Right. I know exponentially more than what I ever talk about.
Right.
LeBron James. One of my closest teammates. We keep in touch. We're on text chains. We all are constantly cracking jokes. I know more than what I talk about.
Right.
Right. T. Lou played with him and played for him.
Right.
I know more than what I talk about. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to be like, people, you guys don't understand really and truly how sad and dysfunctional the Lakers really and truly are. Right. Because we don't want to just go out there and kill people. That's not what you do. That's not how you keep friends in this business.
Right.
That's not how you keep contacts in this business. But the Lakers are so dysfunctional and bad. It's not that many things that need to be changed,
right.
But there are some major things that need to be changed. And one of them is like Rob Pelinka's got to go.
Why, that's strong.
It ain't strong enough from the standpoint that without any examples and saying you know something. And if I know he works at ESPN. If I'm ESPN.
That was on ESPN, by the way.
Right. If I'm ESPN, thanks. Thanks for saying you're an analyst that knows something and you can't divulge anything or you can't give us anything.
I disagree. That was good.
No, it wasn't.
He was naming his credentials.
That's fine. But you got to give me examples.
No,
that's
don't.
Not good enough.
No, you don't.
That's not
no,
good
you
enough.
Don't. No,
that's not
it would have been better.
You're better
yeah.
off not saying it.
It would have been better if
you're
you would have said.
I used
Rob
to tell
Pelinka was in the office yelling at Luke Walton and cussed him out and said, yeah, that would have been better, but it wasn't necessary.
I'll tell you
we
this.
We know Richard Jefferson does know more than he said.
I've talked
and
to
the
players.
Fact that he's talked to all these guys and said, Rob Pelinka has to be fired is powerful.
I'll tell you, I used to say to players all the time when they want to tell me something that I can't use. I'm a reporter. I need information. I don't, you know, for you to tell me that and not be able to give me something that I can use, don't tell me because I'd rather not know if I can't use it.
He so did just, tell us something.
No, he didn't tell
he
you
said,
anything.
He said, Rob Pelinka, he said, all you have to do is listen to him.
I heard
and
what
you
he
know,
said.
From talking
That's not good enough.
From talking intimate.
Not good enough.
You're old school.
I am old school. It's not good enough.
Nowadays, in reporting.
Could you run that in the New York Times? Could you run
yes.
that? No, you could not.
Yes, you could. They
no, you
ran
couldn't.
It on ESPN.
Was
that
it?
Ain't the equivalent of the New York Times.
That ain't the New York Times. You got to give me more than that.
Nah,
say, Rob Pelinka got to go based on what?
You're wrong.
Based on what?
First
Richard
of all,
Jefferson,
Richard Jefferson is
based
not a
on
reporter.
What? I'm telling
He's
you
not
that
a reporter.
They wouldn't run that story in the New York
I
Times.
I worked for the New York
I
Times.
Know.
Did you?
No.
And then I know what they would run and
they
would not run.
They wouldn't run that. Based on what? I work for better papers. The Cincinnati Inquirer.
Yeah, please. All right. Fish wrap.
How you going to call the Cincinnati Inquirer fish wrap?
I lived in Cincinnati. I read it. All right? You're lucky I left it at that.
Nah, I'm just playing.
But.
It's all good.
I get it.
I work for the New York Daily News, the largest paper in the country.
You talk to people all the time. You know this. You said it earlier. You said a close, warm, and personal friend. Why don't you tell us who it is?
No, but I didn't say a guy.
We want to know.
I didn't
you
say
talk
a guy,
to people all the time
I didn't
that
say,
give you information you do not use.
No, but that's for background. But I'm talking about you saying that somebody should be fired. That's different than I know that this guy wants to go or somebody is going to move on. When you're talking about a man's livelihood, you got to give me more than that. That's what I'm talking about, Chris. This ain't a player thinking about moving to a different team. You're asking for somebody to be fired
all right, look.
For them to lose their job. And you're not giving me examples of what he's done wrong to deserve
if
that.
If I came
That's
on,
all I'm saying.
Because the examples are all over the place.
I don't know them.
Oh, well, you ain't
I don't
been
know
reading.
Them. I don't
the
know
examples.
Them.
A lot of people around the league don't answer his calls. A lot of people around the league don't trust him. They think he's a liar. Magic Johnson didn't give him a vote of
so
confidence.
So if it's all around
There's a
the
story
league.
Out there that there were emails so, sent between Genie and Rob dissing Magic that Magic
Okay,
saw.
So then why?
That's
why,
all out there.
Then why couldn't Richard Jefferson say that? Why couldn't he bring that up
Maybe
a part
somebody
of it?
Didn't tell him that.
Well, but why couldn't he use that?
If I came
That's
on
my
this
point.
Show, if I came on this show and said, look, I have talked with LeBron James, I have talked with Tyronn Lue, I have talked with Luke Walton, and trust me, Rob Pelinka needs to be fired. That would mean something. That would mean something. Because people know you're talking to the people that work with him.
You
can't always give specifics. You know
yes,
that in
yes,
this business.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Even if you were to give something, and it would be like if you wanted to go with, you got to give me something when you say somebody should lose their job. You just can't put a blanket, he's got to go. That's not good enough.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
There was an article in The Athletic written by Sam Amick. He's one of the top NBA insiders. We've had him here on The Odd Couple. Does a great job of reporting on the league. He wrote in The Athletic today that there is a quote-unquote recent sense among those close to the Warriors that Kevin Durant might think twice about leaving and instead may re-sign with the Warriors. Now, I know that's kind of vague language.
That doesn't
think,
say. I'm glad
think
you
twice.
I'm glad
yeah,
you said that.
I know
that.
He's gonna think twice.
I'm glad
mean,
you said that.
Right, right.
And I'm not knocking. Sam.
No, I know he does a
okay?
great job, but yeah, it's
that,
very.
But
vague.
You didn't say anything.
Right.
Yeah, that's
it's
not
very vague.
That's not. He's having second thoughts.
Right.
Do you know
it's
what I mean?
It's not even that strong.
It's not that
right.
stronger.
Right.
But
oh,
you know
yeah,
what I
no
mean?
Question.
That's stronger than that.
Yeah, it is.
But this doesn't really lay into anything.
And it's a recent sense.
Right.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It's not Durant told somebody. You know, and look, let me say this. As being a guy who worked as an insider for a long time, even, look, you talk to GMs and those around the league, all of them or most of them that I've talked to are saying Kevin Durant, they believe, is going to New York. There's even those saying people close to Durant are telling people he's going to New York.
I talked to my CWPF, a guy close in the NBA who knows a lot.
Tell people what that means.
Close, warm, personal friend.
Yeah.
CWPF.
It's a little that's a little more intimate than
your regular sources or moles. Right.
But whatever works
for you. It is. It's close, warm, and personal. But I was told too that the Knicks believe they've gotten.
Right.
They got. That's what I've been told, and all your people that you've talked to and all the other stuff, that's all we've heard. So
if the draft were tomorrow, the Knicks would be feeling really good.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. The point I was going to make is that all these people we're talking to, though, don't know. Don't know. When LeBron James left Cleveland and went to Miami, people around the league thought he was going to stay in Cleveland. When he left Miami and went back to Cleveland, the general consensus around the league was he's going to stay in Miami. And so I'm just now, last year, everybody was talking like they are about Durant. LeBron's going to the Lakers. So occasionally the word may be out there. And I do think it's strong. But I'm just saying this is all scuttlebutt.
No, I know it is. But that's not even scuttlebutt.
I would say it's scuttlebutt.
But it doesn't say like. People,
no, there's nothing. It's not a definitive report.
That's what I mean. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
That's all.
But what I want to get to, though, playing off of that, is, Rob, how do you think these playoffs will or should affect Kevin Durant's decision? If you don't mind, I'll give you my thought first.
Okay.
If Kevin Durant is out for the rest of the playoffs,
which that's not what they're saying at
right.
this point.
Well, and that's something else to get to because they're calling it a mild calf strain.
They believe that he could
be back.
Come back if they got to the finals.
Yeah. Well, they're calling it a mild calf strain. Mild. But why is he definitely out Sunday if it's mild? A mild calf strain could improve within those few days. So is there something more to it? We don't know. My point is, though, if he's out the rest of the playoffs and the Golden State Warriors win the championship, I think he should leave. Because, and let me say this, the only reason for Kevin Durant to leave Golden State, the only reason is to dispel and put to bed and bury the narrative that you joined a team, all your championships have come on a team that didn't need you, that would have won without you, that was great without you, and all that. If that doesn't bother Durant, we've heard Walt Frazier say it, Enes Kanter told us, most players around the league say it, the media says it. If none of that bothers Durant and he just really wants to play to win and all that, then stay in Golden State. But if it bothers you, you need to leave. And if they win this championship without you, that only further enhances that thought, that line of thinking that you joined a team that doesn't need you and they just proved it again. And then I think he should leave.
I disagree totally from this standpoint. It's not like he just hitched his wagon on and won the championships. He was the finals MVP twice on those two championship teams. We remember that.
He was great.
We remember that.
Nobody dispelled it. Walt Frazier knows that.
I know. I'm just trying to give you the reason why I disagree with that. So, yes, people have said that he joined a team, and I get all that. But it ain't like he didn't do anything.
No.
And he just hitched on, and they won a championship, and he put it in his back pocket. So he earned his championships from that standpoint.
He was great. He's their best player. Like,
right.
Nobody denies that.
I'm just saying. So my thing is, if you were, even prior to this, thinking about going somewhere else and doing your own thing, whether they win or lose shouldn't change your mind there. Because that narrative.
What if he was thinking about staying?
Well, that's. I'm
and
just,
they win it.
Without him.
Well, if they win it, it still comes down to, I think, either way. He's talked about it. It's been out there. I think that he will go through with whatever he thought, no matter whether they win it or lose it. And he would look better, no doubt about it, Chris, in public opinion, if they lose. If Steph and them lose
right,
here in this, to Houston, without what you
There's
call
no
it?
Question he looks better.
Then he looks way better, and he's like, oh, okay, you didn't need me. Now, does he look better if they – he doesn't look good if they
How
win.
How does he look if they win
know,
the championship?
Of course, if they win the championship. And if they lose the championship, again, would be in his favor. If they win the championship without him, then you could make that argument. But the bottom line is he still, I think, feels like he needs to go somewhere else, regardless, to do his own thing, to better, right? Even if he was to win this year, say he comes back, they win the championship, people still won't give him full credit on his career. So that's why I think it would be better for him, regardless, to go elsewhere, do his own thing, try to win with a team that was just put together for you, and go from there.
Well, one of our good friends and colleagues, Marcus Thompson, we've had him, he writes for The Athletic as well, we've had him on the show. He is writing a book that'll be out very soon. It's actually written, it'll be out very soon, called KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. If that title is true, and we have no reason to believe it's not, if Kevin Durant really wants to be the greatest basketball player of all time, or, you know, then he has to leave. He has to leave. It's not saying if he stays in Golden State, he won't be recognized as one of the greatest of all time.
No, I agree.
He already is.
I agree with that, and that's why I think he has to leave.
If he wants to be the greatest, he has got to leave. And if they win it this year without him, that even furthers the case that he has to leave.
Because if he leaves, say they don't win, he leaves, and he goes to New York, and they win a championship in 2 or 3 years, people say, KD's the dude. Like, he just...
He could potentially... I mean, certainly he can vault into the top 10. If he wins a title in New York, he could potentially challenge LeBron James. I don't think he'd ever get Michael Jordan.
But I think it would be... Just because the Knicks haven't been able to do anything for 40 years, it would just change the narrative around him.
No question. I mean, look, we're not making up stuff about him being shortchanged because he joined the Warriors. In fact, I was one of the few media people that didn't kill him when he joined the Warriors.
Yeah, I killed him.
Right.
I didn't think it was necessary.
Yeah, you killed him.
I thought he could have won a championship had he stayed in Oklahoma City, but that's – he decided to do that.
Did you think it was cheap to go to a 73-win team that beat you in the playoffs?
And also a team that you had down 3-1.
Okay.
And you had gone to the finals one time prior – in Oklahoma City. So one like you had never sniffed it or you had no chance of ever getting right there. So that would be totally
you
different.
You should have gotten there that year.
Right.
They had him down 3-1.
All you do is win one game and it didn't
But that's
happen.
My point, Rob. We're not making this up. We didn't put words into Walt Frazier's mouth.
No,
we
it's
didn't
more
put
than
words
that.
In his cantor's mouth.
There's other guys around, and that's the word going around the league.
Right.
That's what people think.
So if you want to dispel that, you've got to leave, especially if they win it this year without you, especially. Now, what I want to throw out to you, let's forget all the scuttlebutt right now. Let's say Kevin Durant is thinking right now, you know, I think I want to stay here, and doesn't come back for the playoffs and they win it without him. Then do you think that should change his mind and you got to leave?
I don't know. I just look at it from the standpoint of it would be really like his call. I mean,
it's obviously what is going to make him happy personally.
Right. It's his call, and I don't think that it's strictly on whether they win or lose. Obviously, if they lose, you could walk out with your chest feeling like, see, they really needed me. We all know he's a great player.
He won't admit it, nor should
nobody.
He.
No.
But as a human being,
you would feel better.
You're going to be, there's no
doubt about it. If you leave a situation or circumstance, and, you know,
you were
and,
the heavy favorites to win it.
You know, say you leave a show or whatever and then the ratings plummet. You feel better.
Right.
If you leave a show and then the ratings are better,
Did you feel like, oh, that sucks?
No, there's no doubt. And that doesn't make him a bad person. It doesn't make him selfish. That makes him human.